Now on to our bloggers roundtable. We are going to revisit a story we hit last week about new details that have surfaced surrounding the FBI's surveillance of Coretta Scott King. Plus, Ireland is opening an all-black school in a Dublin suburb. And now that Congress has returned, what should they be working on? With us, we've got Brandon Whitney, who writes the blog Homeland Colors, Shay Riley of the blog Booker Rising, and Earl Donovan. He runs the websites Promethea 6 and Intrapolitics. Welcome, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
So glad to have you guys on. And last week, KHOU-TV in Houston, Texas, got its hands on the newly released FBI file of Coretta Scott King. And the story might not have made news had the file not had one big surprise in it. The FBI increased its surveillance of Mrs. King after the death of her husband. And we spoke with Mark Greenblatt, an investigative reporter with KHOU.
They show how the federal government, under J. Edgar Hoover's watch, really ordered all kinds of surveillance on Coretta Scott King. They tracked every movement that she made, every plane trip that she made, and were even reporting where she went and her travels all the way on over to military intelligence.
Earl, here on News and Notes, we did a big story on COINTELPRO, a program that basically aided in the surveillance and even disinformation of people like Reverend King. Are you surprised by this new information?
I'm very familiar with COINTELPRO, and not only am I not surprised, I pretty much think they're still doing it to a couple of people. You know, seriously, we have a tremendous amount of new surveillance powers being given to our government right now. Why are they not going to use it?
Shay, what do you think?
Well, no, I wasn't surprised at all that the FBI had been spying on Mrs. King. In fact, I would have been surprised had they not been spying on her after her husband's death. You know, in my opinion, this is a case or another case of big government overreach, you know, because Mrs. King was not a threat to national security. And it was wasted time that should have been used toward violent, subversive elements, you know, within our society, instead of a lady who was advocating for civil rights for black people and peacefully articulating her points in other areas. So, you know, I'm glad that at least the FBI did come to its senses 4 years later and stop its surveillance of her.
Brandon, there's always a lag between the time that things happen and the time they're reported. The blogosphere in some ways has tightened up this lag, but in a case like this, when you're dealing with historical documents, what do blogs actually bring to the table when discussing a story like this, which is pretty hot on the blogosphere?
Well, I would say the best part about blogs reporting something of this nature is that the important questions get asked about what took place. In particular with this one, I wasn't at all surprised that the FBI was investigating her. It was run by Hoover, who was staunchly against the civil rights movement and not afraid of taking taking measures that were borderline illegal. But I think what the blogs do is they ask the question. They say, okay, why wasn't this found out before this time? Why are these records just not coming out? And I know it's freedom of information, but we ask more important questions because the media, honestly, besides you guys, when you look at the mainstream media, they don't ask important questions. It's not much of a story to them.
Brandon, I want to actually move us to another bit of news, getting a lot of play on blogs and elsewhere. Fred Thompson plans on announcing his official bid for the presidency tomorrow, not before a few strategic appearances today. He's going on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. Now, he's not exactly a shy one. He's on Law and Order. He was in The Hunt for Red October. TV should be a piece of cake for him. What are you looking for as you take a look at his launch of his presidential campaign?
Well, I'm kind of hoping he stumbles a little bit because, and this is because I'm biased, I'm definitely voting on a Democratic ticket this year. He's probably the only Republican I'm really worried about, mostly because his run is a symbolic run. He's been smart enough to stay out of the debates so far, by waiting to announce. And so he's in a position where he doesn't have to worry about tripping up on what he said in the past. He can just focus on the future. And he kind of stands in that position that Reagan did. He's an actor. He's a moderate Republican, at least on the surface. And he doesn't come across as somebody who's connected to the past mistakes of the president and to the past mistakes of the Congress.
Go ahead.
Oh, so I'm just hoping he stumbles somehow.
Now, Shay, do you think he's the man to beat then in terms of a potential Republican front runner already, even though he hasn't even just dipped his foot in the water?
It's possible, certainly, because he's a moderate conservative, and he already has high visibility given the fact that he's already been a senator, and plus his acting roles on Law and Order and other avenues there. So I think what's going to happen is that it'll make a lot of people on the conservative Republican side very excited, because what I'm hearing on my blog from people who are black and Republican and conservative are that they don't feel like there's many candidates that they can choose from who they can really get excited about and get behind.
Well, tell me more about the criteria, that people would say, okay, I'm a black conservative, these are the criteria I'm looking for in a Republican candidate.
Well, most of my readers are looking for a person who is pro-life on the abortion issue. I myself happen to be pro-choice, but that's an issue that they're really strongly, that they strongly feel about. Another thing is the issue with religion. What's the importance of faith in that person's politics? And just a general social and fiscal conservatism.
Now, Earl, you heard Brandon say that this is the perfect time for Fred Thompson to jump in because he's missed some of the early debates. He can come out fresh as a flower. Do you think the opposite could be true, that he's missed some crucial moments?
Well, frankly, I don't think he's dipping his toe in. I think he's in the race about mid-shin by now, okay? He's actually been campaigning all this time. And I've been listening to some of his speeches on C-SPAN, and he's not really saying anything. He's just making a lot of symbolic statements, a lot of symbolic gestures. He actually has to catch up to some of the Republicans, and I think, and this is opinion, not being Republican, it's a guess, okay? But I think he has to catch up to some of the other Republican candidates who have been making very specific statements appealing to very specific branches of their core. So he's missing some of his own party. His big advantage is, as Brandon said, he's an actor capable of putting across the symbolic candidacy that the Republican Party is looking for.
I want to actually stay with you, Earl, and move on to another topic. Very interesting one. Ireland. There are reports that the Republic of Ireland, that's the south, the bulk of the island, is opening a predominantly black school in a Dublin suburb. I've been to Dublin. Love that city. Very diverse city in a country which is majority white. And so Ireland's education system is actually bursting at the seams. And the school is going to cater to the needs of 70 kids whose parents missed the enrollment deadline, mainly parents of African descent. And some say white parents missed the deadline, too, but their kids still got seats. There's a whole bunch of different issues here, including that many schools require there be a certificate of baptism, and some of these students, these African students, are Muslim. What does this say about the kind of rough path of diversity in education, not just in the U.S., but elsewhere, Earl?
I don't know. Ireland, I'm disturbed by it a little bit. I know that the IRA actually pitched in with the Black Liberation Movement earlier. So in Ireland, there is a consciousness of race dealing with black people specifically, not just the tribalism of Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland and Great Britain. So I think that they actually could have had a better clue than they seem to have used. I would like to give them a little time, though, because as you say, they're pretty diverse over in Dublin right now. And this is the first real blunder that I've heard of. So I'd say let's back up a little bit and see if they can correct that.
Shay, do you think it's just absolutely crazy to think of starting a black school? Or is it something that it was just a logistical glitch?
Well, I think that, first of all, it's just interesting to me how Europe is always chastising America about racial issues from their lily white soapbox. But yet when they, get confronted with racial diversity, the racism really emerges, such as in this case. Now, I'm not of the opinion that an all-black school means that, you know, they're not going to achieve. And I don't believe that integration, racial integration, is important to Black success necessarily. But what I do find interesting is that what will probably come from this, because it's an all-Black school, is people will say that the African immigrants or the children of African immigrants didn't want to integrate into society, and never mind that these individuals were trying to get into the pre-existing system, but yet Black children, even Catholic ones, were not able to get into these slots, but yet whites, whether they were Protestant or agnostic or atheist and who had moved into the area later, were able to get slots. You know, so the immigrants weren't clamoring for a new system in the first place. What I'd like to see them do is craft the school in a way that would suit them in the particular needs of the Black children there.
Brandon, Europe is becoming way more multi-ethnic and multicultural, a lot of immigrants. Is this something that other countries are probably going to have to face and figure out things in ways that America is still struggling with?
To a certain extent, Europe doesn't have the same history in terms of discrimination within their own nations that the United States has. So I don't think that they're going to have the same type of problem. And I hesitate to say that Ireland did that purely on racial issues. In all likelihood, considering it's Ireland, it's probably more religious, and that 98% of those schools are Catholic schools. And this is a generalization, but looking at past performance, I'm surprised they didn't let those students in, because African students tended to be overachievers in terms of education. So either way, I think they're going to do all right. But I hesitate to say that's racial in a place like that. With Europe in general, though, I think it's ironic that their colonies are not colonizing them. So.
Yeah, many people feel that it's ironic, sometimes happy, sometimes troubled, but that is the way of race in the world. And one more topic for you, Brandon. Congress, they just came back from a month-long recess. The president is dealing with a glut of recent resignations. What do you think Congress needs to focus on in this term?
All right, well, I'm going to tell you this from the point of view of a Democrat, or someone who votes Democrat 85% of the time. I would hope that they would focus less on Iraq, and I know that sounds crazy, but at this point, all they can do is either impeach the president or cut funds, and they're not going to do that. So I'd like to see them focus on usury laws for credit cards. I'd like to see them focus on financial aid for students, abuses by credit card companies, financial aid companies, basically re-regulate some of these industries that are so important to America's infrastructure for allowing African Americans to move from lower class to upper class positions and focus on them. And I know they won't do it specifically for African Americans, but there's a lot of issues and areas that they can focus on, that they can have successes in and ensure a victory in 08 that I don't think they're doing right now.
Earl, what about you? What should they be focused on?
I'd like them to focus on that impeachment and defunding that Brandon doesn't think is going to happen. And he's probably right, okay? I'm hearing them resist it. They're saying that there isn't time to do it. And I distinctly recall all manner of tax cuts and nonsense being passed by the Republican Congress as they were impeaching Bill Clinton. So it is not the case that there isn't enough time to do it. There is not political will to do it. And I'd like to see that will develop. Now, we still have our domestic issues. And again, Brandon, frankly, I'm impressed. Okay, guy. He hit those points, all right? But those can be addressed at the same time as impeachment, as Iraq, because the entire population of the House of Representatives is scattered all over Washington in little meeting rooms while they're holding their cases anyway. So since they're not on the floor, send a couple to this committee, send a couple to that committee, address everything and bring them to the floor and vote on them.
Shay,
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, I think if Congress had the will to impeach President Bush, they would have done so a long time ago. But what I would like to see Congress do, which will probably never happen, is to take a libertarian approach to government by reeling in big government, whether it's social welfare, corporate welfare, privatizing Social Security, school vouchers. And if any group of people should be upset about the role that big government has taken in our history, it should be Black people. Whether you want to talk about slavery all the way to people's criticisms of how Hurricane Katrina is handled, big government usually has not been good for Black people. So
all right.
I would actually like to see smaller government.
All right, Shay, we're going to have to wrap it up. So thanks, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
So we've been talking with Brandon Whitney, who writes the blog Homeland Colors. He was at our Washington, D.C. headquarters. Shay Riley of the blog Booker Rising at WBEZ in Chicago. And Earl Donovan, who runs the websites Prometheus 6 and Intrapolitics and comes to us from NPR's New York studios. You can always find links to their blogs and ours at nprnewsandnotes.org.